Come on, let's really praise the Lord together this morning. So thankful to be in your house again. So thankful for your word that we've heard this week. Stirring our hearts, oh God. We need more of you every day, oh God. I need you today. I need you today. Hallelujah. Amen. It's always good to be in church. It's a lot better to be in church when you're sitting out there than when you're standing up here. Amen. So in just a few minutes, I'll be able to relax with the rest of you. And won't have anything else to worry about except my plane not crashing on the way home. Amen. I do want to thank Elder Garza and the other ministers involved in this meeting for allowing me to be here, but making it always such a pleasant time. Brother Garza and the church in Madera and all those others that help out. Everything is always so nice, and they go the extra mile in thoughtfulness and very considerate. And I always enjoy coming here. In fact, the best time I've ever had here was last year because I didn't have to preach. I just got to come. My wife and I came and took a little vacation and were able to take in almost all of PATH. And we appreciate the brethren in this area. And appreciate what you have. You need to appreciate what you have. It's not like this everywhere. God's blessed you with a lot of good men and good fellowship. And sometimes when we've always had it, we take it for granted. Amen. But I do enjoy being here and always enjoy the fellowship with the men of God in this area. Thank you, Brother Garza, and your church for the nice room, the basket, all the meals. I snuck in the back today and they got more tri-tip on the smoker back there. And you can get real carnal when you walk by something like that. And so thank you so much for the hard work and all you do to make us feel at home and go home weighing more than we did when we got here. And I appreciate the preaching, Elder Pace. Always enjoyed being with him. And I've got to find out what kind of hairspray he uses. I noticed his hair didn't get blown around at all last night by these fans. And me and Brother Clon are having a real problem keeping our hair from blowing all around. But I enjoy always hearing Elder Pace preach and just being around him. And Brother Heiler, what a message yesterday morning. I don't want to get in that place of comfort and ease and not want to be stirred. That's the worst condition, is this condition of not wanting to be stirred. Thank you, Elder Heiler, and looking forward to hearing Brother Mantooth and Elder Morton this evening. Amen. Good things coming. Exodus chapter 21. This is going to be, as usual, very simple. And I really tried for God to give me something else, but he kept bringing me back to this. I actually just preached this in my church recently, but you start reading it, you've probably heard it dozens of times. But I feel like it's needful today. And I've been stirred by some of the principles in this passage. Exodus 21 and 1. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years shall he serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, and if you don't mind me editing a little bit, I love my master, I love my wife, and I love my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever, forever. Amen. Can we pray together? God, we love you, and we are so thankful to be in this place, to feel the Holy Ghost. God, we desire your anointing, O God. We need your touch upon this place today, O God, upon every heart, that we might hear today, that your word would be able to help us, Lord. God, help me today to be sensitive to your spirit, to preach your word, to touch souls. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to talk to us this morning on this thought, the mark of love. Amen, the mark of love. We live in a very fickle generation or time, and there is a great lack of commitment in many different areas of our lives, and we need greater commitment to God, to the things of God, to the house of God, and to the things in our life that matter the most. To develop some relationships that will not be violated. Amen. To take care of the things in life that will matter most. I don't see an Elder Wheeler here today, but several years ago, it's been 8 or 9 years ago at least, he was teaching in our church during a youth revival, and he made a statement, and I've never forgotten it, and I quote it often in my church. He said this: take care of your family and in your church, because when you get old, that's all you're going to have, and if you don't have them, you won't have anything. If you don't have them, you won't have anything, and I have not forgotten that hope. I never do. Those are important things in our life. And I want to try from this passage today to talk to us about the importance of taking care of these key relationships in our life. Well, hallelujah. Amen. Moses is given to Israel laws and judgments. The laws in this chapter are termed to be political laws. The laws in the preceding chapter were referred to as judicial laws. And these words were given to Moses directly from God. And God spoke to Moses. It was the desire, amen, in Exodus 20 and 13, the children of Israel said to Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak to us, lest we die. And so it was their desire that Moses would communicate with God or be an intermediary between them and God. And so God communicated his will to Moses in order that he might convey them to the people. These judicial laws were given to govern the civil state of the people of Israel. And they were founded, they say, on justice and equity as seen by God, according to the judgments of God and the balance of truth that God uses. And so it was by these laws that the children of Israel were to be judged and they were to be governed. But it was also for their information that they might rule their conduct towards one another. It gave their judges guidelines to use in the execution of judgment and to make sure there was justice among them. He told Moses, you're going to set them before the people. Not only did he rehearse them in their ears, but they were recorded and they were placed where they could observe them and be mindful of them. And Israel was taught that their government was a theocracy, that they were ruled by God. They were not ruled by Moses, but they were ruled by God through the government of Moses. And they understood that though it was just this man that communicated these principles or laws to them, that all of these laws came directly from God. And so he begins to lay out the laws or principles concerning the purchasing of a Hebrew servant. They said that there were six different principal ways that a Hebrew could become a servant. One would be if they found themselves in extreme poverty, that they could choose to sell their liberty in order to work their way out of poverty. They also said there were times that a father would sell his children into servitude. People who were debtors and could not pay their debts, that if they were insolvent, they became the slaves of their creditors. In the Old Testament, we have the story of the woman coming to the prophet and telling her that the creditor, telling him the creditors are coming to take my son. And so there was an understanding that if we could not repay, we became a servant until the debt was paid. If a thief had stolen and did not have the money or the ability to repay that debt or the fine that was laid upon him, he could be sold in order that that person he robbed could be reimbursed for their loss. And so he would become a slave under those conditions. Sometimes they were taken as a prisoner in war and then turned around and sold as a slave. And a Hebrew slave that may have been ransomed by another Hebrew from a Gentile could be sold back to the Hebrew. But there were laws to govern that, and these only applied to the Hebrew servant. And he said he will serve you for 6 years, but on the seventh, he's going to go out free. And so if you took a servant or a slave of the your brothers, the Hebrews, they couldn't serve you. You could not keep them more than 6 years. The seventh year, they had to go out. We know that even if a man mortgaged or lost his family inheritance, that in the year of Jubilee, everything went back every 50 years, a year of Jubilee. And so God put some things in place so that no Israelite could ever totally lose his liberty or totally lose his inheritance. There's always be a hope for his family. And so it was an understanding if you got a Hebrew servant, you could not keep him forever. He had a right to go free. And so he said, now if he comes in by himself when it's time for him to go, He's going to have to go out by himself. Whatever manner he came in fact, some of the writings say whatever manner he came in, when you set him free, he has to go in that same manner. If he came with a new coat and he wore out his coat working for you, when you sent him out, you had to give him a new coat. You had to make sure that he left your home in the condition that he arrived there in. And so you are not allowed to mistreat your brother. Well, amen. No matter what he did to get himself in that condition, there were limitations put. In fact, they couldn't be treated like the other servants or slaves. They couldn't be treated like foreigners were treated. So they had a certain restriction on how they could be treated or dealt with. And so he said, whatever condition he comes out in, that's how he goes free. If he was married when he came in, then his wife will go with him. They can go free with him. But the next verse, it said, if the master has given him a wife and she's born him sons or daughters, the wife and her children will be the master's. If he wants to go free, he cannot take with him his wife or children. Generally, what happened is a master that had a Hebrew slave would often give him a wife of the Canaanites because she didn't have the same privileges and right. She would remain a slave forever. And so they say that often they would give that Hebrew servant a Canaanite woman to be his wife, and then that they would bear children. That just gave him more slaves that he could keep and control. And but if all this happened and he decided he wanted to go out, he said he has to go out by himself. If he chooses to leave, he's got to go out without his wife, and he's got to go out without his children. If he wants to leave, he's got to go all by himself. And then verse 5 is where I want to spend some time this morning. He said, but if the servant shall plainly say, if he'll plainly say, if he can express it, and they say that this servant had to make this profession at least twice and clearly state these things that he wanted to remain in this position. So everybody would know this was his will. This was what he had determined to do. When it said plainly, it meant to answer from the heart. It had to be in his heart. It was making a promise or making a vow. And in this verse, there are three things that he had to state that I want to talk to us about this morning that I feel like we need to really think about. Well, hallelujah. Amen. I think we have a lot of problems in our churches because there are some issues like this that people haven't settled in their life. And if they could get these issues settled, if they could plainly make this decision, amen, there would be some battles that would be easy for them to conquer. There would be some temptations that came their way that would be so much easier for them to brush aside. But because we haven't really settled the issues in our heart, we haven't really got to that place where we can declare plainly, this is how it is with me. Well, hallelujah. Amen. We've got people messing up their lives and people wandering off from God because they haven't, amen, really sat down and thought about what are they going to do with their life and how are they going to live their life and decide there are some things, amen, that I have got to love enough that I'm willing to give up everything else for them. Well, hallelujah. Amen, amen. And he said the first thing he has to declare, he has to say, I love my master. Amen. There was a great price to pay to truly make that statement. I'm giving up my liberty. I'm giving up my opportunity to walk free and go do whatever I want to do with my life. Amen. But I clearly declare, I love my master. Amen. I love him as a person. Something has happened. I love him enough, amen, to continue serving him of my own free will. Amen. You need to make up your mind. I'm going to live for God no matter what it costs me. Amen. We really don't talk about consecration as much as we need to. Well, we don't push consecration as much as we need to. Amen, amen. I was raised in Pentecost. And I can remember when shouting and dancing and running out was not really that popular. It was not common. At least where I grew up. Maybe y'all always did that. But I'm not about its cross. Other denominations, other religions are replicating what Pentecost is. Because they found out people like this. Amen. And I'm all for shouting. And I'm all for dancing and running out. And whatever God moves on you to do. But if we don't spend time with our nose in the carpet somewhere, pouring out our heart to God and making sure there's something deeper than a demonstration of the flesh, that when, amen, when the hype is over and church is over and we're living our everyday life, that there was something consecrated to God, amen, that's not going to be taken away from me. I love my master. I love my master. I don't just enjoy being in his presence, but I love him enough that when I'm not in his presence, I'm still going to be faithful to him. I'm still going to serve him. We still need consecration. Hallelujah. I'm glad for the exuberance of our youth. Amen. But God help them. They develop a prayer life. Amen. That's more than just something we do when we come to church. But we've got a relationship with God. We've got to walk with God every day of our life. We're thinking about him. That there's a desire to please our need to be able to say, I love my master. Amen. Would you like to do this? What about this? And when temptation comes, you say, no, I love my master. I'm not interested in what you've got to offer me. Amen. I'm in love with God. Amen. I settled it. Amen. In a prayer room. Amen. I settled it in an altar of consecration. Amen. I'm not interested in what this world is trying to offer me. Amen. You started out serving him because you had to. Amen. But the day has come where you've got to say, God, it's settled in my heart. I'm not going anywhere else. I'm not leaving this place. Amen. I love you. Hallelujah. Amen. And maybe I may talk about this a little bit later, but amen. Thank God for young Christian couples that think they love each other and get married. But love is people that have been married 15, 60 years. And they don't look like they used to look. And they're hobbling along and pushing each other's wheelchair, whatever the condition is. Amen. Things go wrong. Amen. But the relationship is still the same. It may not be. Amen. The physical condition may not be like it was in the beginning. Amen. But the condition of the heart is unchanged by what's happening on the surface. Amen. You need to get it in your heart. Love is of God. And love is something I've got to have in here. And not just in my eyes and not just in my mind. Amen. Matthew 22 and 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And we know all these scriptures, but I feel like we need to get this set on the heart. I got to love God with everything. My mind won't stray if I love him with all my mind. Amen. My affections won't wax old if I love him with all my heart. Well, hallelujah, we get weak because our love gets weak. Mark chapter 12, verse 29, Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. This is where it all starts. If I don't love him, nothing else. Hear me. If I don't love him, nothing else matters. If I don't love him, if I don't really love him, my worship doesn't mean anything to him. Even if I don't really love him, all the things I'm doing, amen, to try to please, really doesn't mean anything to him. Because he wants it to be a condition of the heart and not just some actions of my flesh. He said the first commandment is you've got to love God with everything in you. 1 John 5:2, but by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and do it, and we keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous to us. The reason we struggle with doing right is because we don't love him. The reason things are hard for us to do and we struggle to live for God is because we don't love him. Well, I'm going to talk about this in a minute, but it's not hard to go home every night if you love your wife. Well, amen, it's not hard to get your hide out of bed and go work a job so you can keep the roof over your children's head and put food on the table for them if you love your children. Yeah. Amen. The Bible says if you don't take care of your household, you're worse than an infidel. Amen. There's no place in the church for lazy folks. Well, whether you agree with me or not, there's still where I pass, I don't have any time for lazy folks. Folks who won't work won't pray either. If you're too lazy to work, you're too lazy to pray. Well, hallelujah. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither things are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He said, if you love all this stuff and it has an attraction to you, it's because you don't really love him. Yet said I, plainly, I can declare, I love my master. Let me tell you, temptation loses its power when you're in love with the master. Amen. The world loses its allurement to you when you're in love with the master. But you got to be able to plainly declare, I love my master. I'm in love with God. I've got my mind made up. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to live for him. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm going to do everything I can to make sure in this house God is exalted and God is lifted up and his name is magnified and his word is obeyed. Because I love my master. I love my master. And I don't understand why people don't love God when you look at what he's done for them. Amen. When you just think about Calvary, I don't understand why people don't really love God. He said, I love my master. Martin, you said it a few years ago preaching here at Path, when people ask you about how you live and stuff, you tell them, this is my devotion to God. Not what my church teaches, no, this is my devotion to God. I'm sorry, I love God, and this is how I want to live, because I love him. Amen. Why are we intimidated? Why are we ashamed? Amen. They love their world. They love their junk. Why can't we just be honest now? I love God. That's why I go to church. I love God. That's why I act like this. I love God. That's why I dress like this. I love God. That's why I don't go those places. Amen. You're always going. I'm in love with God. I want to be in his house. I want to be in his presence. Amen. I want his word down deep in my heart. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I love my master. He said three things he has to declare. The second one is, he says, I love my wife. I love my wife. I love my wife enough that I'll surrender my liberty to remain with her. I can leave here and go do whatever I want to do. It's my option. He said, but I want everybody to know I love my wife enough and I'll stay a servant to the master. And I want to stay with her. Ephesians 5:25, it says, husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Amen. Love your wife. You got me up saying, I love my wife. Amen. When the world and the junk out there is trying to get your attention, you got me up saying, you know what? I just love my wife. I'm not interested in what's going on out there. I'm not. Amen. The world's selling a bunch of cheap junk and people are walking away. Amen. From relationships that are ordained by God. Amen. God help me to be able to plainly declare not just with my mouth but how I live every day and how I think. Amen. God, I love my wife. Amen. Verse 28 Ephesians 5, he said, show ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. He said, if you got your head screwed on straight, amen, you love your wife. And he said, if you don't love your wife, it's because you don't love yourself. He said, there's nothing wrong with your wife, but there's something wrong with you. Amen. You haven't got some things worked out in your own heart. Amen. He said, if you love your wife, it's because you love yourself. Understand. Amen. There's a higher calling. Amen. There's a better way to live. Amen. Than the junk. Amen. That this world is, amen, trying to shove down your throat today. Young people. Amen. God created you. Amen. To serve him. And he created a relationship for you to have. Amen. With the opposite gender. Amen. The world would like to rob you of that. You need to be able to say someday in your life, I love my wife. First Peter 3:7, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together the grace of life. He said that your prayers be not hindered. He said, if you don't keep the relationship with your wife right, you're not going to be able to pray like you need to. Amen. And let me tell you really how that formula works. If you don't have a right relationship with your wife, it's because you don't have a right relationship with God. Well, many years ago, I was much younger. Had a couple came to meet with me before prayer meeting one night. They were fighting, fussing. I just listened. I didn't want to be on either side of that one. They fussed. They went back and forth about 30 minutes. I looked at my watch, and I said, it's time for prayer meeting. They said, okay, we'll go down and pray. I said, no, you're not. You're not taking that nasty spirit into our prayer meeting. I said, you get out of the building. You go somewhere and you work things out. I didn't say I had all the answers, but that's what I did. I said, I don't want you. I said, Bob tells you, you can't pray anyway. You can't offer anything to God anyway because you got a problem between each other. I said, you get out of here and you go take care of that. When you get it fixed, you come back. But you're not going into our prayer meeting and bringing that nasty spirit in there. I wonder how many times our church service have been hindered, our prayer meetings disrupted. Amen. Because, well, there's friction in the home. Amen. Amen. Driving to church, fussing at each other all the way to church. Fighting. In church, oh hallelujah, praise God. And everybody in the church knows you're fighting. You don't look at each other. You know, they come in church, hey, look how happy, but they won't look at each other. If one of them starts worship praying, the other's like, they give them that evil eye, you know, like hypocrite. Well, that makes two of you. He said, you've got to keep your relationship right. If you keep this one right, the others will be right. There's no substitute for keeping a right relationship with God. Amen. I'm not preaching against marriage counseling, but if we kept our relationship with God right, we'd need to ask less of that. Amen. If we were really not that, oh, I will spend some time in the prayer room. I don't care about if you spend time in the prayer room. I'm wondering if God was able to talk to you. And you come out there with your head hung down, realize I need to apologize. I need to make some things right. Amen. Well, too many people are more interested in winning the fight than they are in having their relationship fixed. He said, got to be able to stand before the judges and say, I love my wife. Amen. Anybody that knows me will tell you, I love my wife. Anybody that's seen me around, they know I love my wife. Ephesians also tells us that the wife needs to be subject to their husband. But we won't talk about that today. Amen. Titus 2:4 says that the older women said they need to teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. You know, if you have to write that, it means there's a problem there. He said, we need to teach the young ladies how to love their husbands. Well, amen. There's a great need for our more mature women. Okay, how's that? To be an example to the younger ladies of how you show love to your husband, of how you show love to your children. Amen. God knows there's a dearth of good moms in this generation. You get outside the apostolic circles and it's a shame. Sometimes a shame within the circle. More interested in themselves than they are in the children. Amen. He said, you're going to have to teach them to love their husbands and teach them, amen, to love their children. Show them how. Amen. I'm sure it's this way in your church, but in my church, I'm dealing with a lot of people from broken homes. They come out of the world. They didn't have a father figure. They didn't have a mother figure. If they had one of those parents in the home, they weren't good at it. And they have no idea what a husband's really supposed to do. They have no idea how a wife is really supposed to act. Amen. I believe God can help us if we desire it. If we say, God, I want to love my wife like I should. God, I want to love my husband like I should. I want to be the kind of spouse, amen, that the Bible says I need to be. Amen. If you don't love God like you should, you will not love your spouse like you should. Amen. All you young people, y'all just take notes for later. Your day will come. Amen. You walk to that altar. You float. We're so in love. Come see me in 3 months. You find out his socks stink. And he throws them in the floor. Yeah. You find out her hair ain't always fixed. He said, but you got to love your wife. You got to be able to declare, I don't have any problems staying in this condition because I love my wife. And he said the third thing they had to clearly declare is I love my children. I love my children. And I would trade my liberty for my children. Amen. Some of you learn when you get children, it changes the dynamics of life. all them diapers and formula and all the junk kids got to have. Amen. Now, you know, back in the old days when I had kids, you just threw them in the car and went wherever. Man, now you got to strap them in the helmet and, you know, that. You got to do all kinds. You look like you're moving. Every time you go somewhere with your kids, you feel like you're moving. And when my son was little, we set him on the console between me and my wife. Drove down the highway. We didn't think nothing of it, man. When I was a kid, we were all over the car. Amen. But he said, you got to say, you know what, kids are expensive. Amen. I was telling him, if you don't want to take care of them, don't have any. If you don't want to hear them say, how come, what's that, what's that, what's that? My grandson just turned 28 months. Since he's my grandson, he gets away with a lot more. What's that? What's that? What's that? What's that? What's that? He wants to know what everything is. Amen. If you don't want to answer those questions, don't have children. Well, he said, I love my children. 2 Corinthians 12:14, behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours but you. He said, for the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. Some people have kids and think they're their slaves. They think they're their servants. He said, your job's to take care of your children. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture, in the admonition of the Lord. If you really love your children, you're not going to create situations in their life that's going to harm them. Amen. I know none of us here are perfect parents. But hopefully we're not so proud we can't go back and fix things when we make a mistake. God says, I love my children enough. I don't mind sitting down and saying, hey, I was wrong. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. I love my children enough. I'm not going anywhere. What he had to say is, I love my master, and I love my wife, and I love my children. Because of that, I will not go out free. Amen. I'll tell the world is beckoning you today, saying you don't have to live like that, and you don't have to do all those things. Amen. You can just go out and do your own thing. Amen. But you need to make up your mind in this place today. Amen. I'm not going anywhere. Amen. I'm going to serve the Lord all the days of my life. I'm going to let God, amen, make me what he wants me to be. Amen. What you got to understand, the Hebrew servant had the right of choice. He could do whatever he wanted to do. He could decide his future. But he said he has the right to say, I will serve for the rest of my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One writer says, when the servant values the things at the master's house over his own freedom, he could make the choice to stay at the master's house. Everybody has to make up their mind for themselves. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to live for God. Amen. I want to tell you, I don't have to tell you, our society is sick. Our society is twisted and perverted. But we can't let the church become victim of that same sickness. We can't let the attitude towards God and the attitude towards our spouse and the attitude towards our children be affected by what's going on in the world around us. Amen. They don't have, amen, any consecration to God. Amen. They don't have any commitment to their spouse. Amen. They don't, amen. The Bible talks about without natural affection in Romans and in Timothy. It says they don't feel like they ought to towards those that they should love. Something's messed up in their mind. Something's messed up in their spirit. God help the church, amen, to understand, amen, if I keep my walk with God like it should be, and I keep my relationship with God, amen, like it ought to be, everything's going to work out in the rest of my life. Amen. Romans talks about gross perversion. And the reason was, the reason people do some of the dumb things they do, because they don't have the natural affection they should have. They don't feel about God the way they should feel about God. They don't feel about their wives the way they ought to feel about their wives. They don't feel about their children, amen, the way they ought to feel towards their children. Amen. That those three words, not, or without, natural affection, mean not cherishing. Not cherishing. Amen. It meant literally to be inhuman. He said they weren't normal. They didn't think about the relationship that God had, amen, blessed them with the wife like they should have. Amen. They don't love even their kindred like they ought to. They don't love their own flesh and blood. Amen. They don't have the affection that they should have as parents toward their children. Amen. And likewise, children don't have the affection and even the respect that they ought to have back towards their parents. Why? Because the spirit of this world is infecting us. And if we're not careful, our churches are not going to look much better than the world if we don't settle some things. Amen. As for me and my house, this is how we're going to live. Amen. We're going to expect some things. Amen. He said nature teaches there's a certain attachment, and they don't have it. Amen. Men and women make some foolish decisions because they don't have these things settled in their heart. Because they don't really adequately consider the consequences of their decision. Amen. They don't love God like they should. They don't. I'm sorry, this all goes back to right there. I don't love God right. I don't love God right, so it messes up everything else in my life. Well, it may be a sensitive issue, but it still needs to be preached. We need to keep the church pure, and we need to keep the church holy, and we need to keep our hearts from straying, our eyes from wandering, our mind from drifting off. Amen. The thoughts, amen, that don't belong in the heart of a Christian. God, help us to keep our hearts pure and our minds pure. And the only way that's going to happen is if we stay full of the Holy Ghost and keep our first love for God. I think it's important from time to time to do some real soul searching. To just stop and spend some time with God. I know we need to pray all the time, Rick, but sometimes we just need to set aside, God, this is about just finding out how are things between me and you. To examine our hearts. The psalmist said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. God, I need you to show me the things, amen, that my flesh, amen, was not willing to admit. God, I need to spend some time in your presence where you break away all the facades and you show me what I really am. If I'm lacking, God, you're the only one that can help me. Soul searching. Examining the areas of our life. See if we're letting any of the safeguards down. See if we're fudging on the barriers. Well, truth is, when we're doing that, we know our relationship isn't right. Somebody mentioned incrementalism, I know, this week, and I've looked into that quite a bit. You can't just come and overthrow us like that. But little by little, grain by grain, a little erosion here and there. Not enough to alarm us. That's why that time of inspection or introspection, when we stop. Amen. You walk into your house and you just go about, but if you stop and start going around your home wall by wall, portion of ceiling, you're gonna find all the little things that are starting to deteriorate. Your focus is not really on that stuff. But every once in a while you gotta do a checkup on the old house and see where the paint's peeling or the plaster's cracking before it gets too bad. And it's no different with this old man that I am. Sometimes I gotta stop and just look real close at my life, because we're busy folks. We're going and doing it. We're saying we're busy doing things for God, but at the same time, we may be neglecting some things, and there may be some things falling apart that we need to stop and close up the breach. Amen. Take some time to examine your heart and say, God, I want you to help me see the things that are not obvious to this flesh. Amen. I don't want to be lost, and I don't want the people I pastor to be lost. And we don't like it sometimes when God drops a blade deeper than normal and starts turning over some things that we'd forgotten about, that we just overlooked. Well, if I'm going to be saved, I need a preacher to preach to me till I'm convicted. I don't care if they preach about outreach, soul winning, prayer, whatever, wherever it goes. I need them to preach it, amen, till I come under conviction. Say, God, I want to make sure I got that right, that I'm doing it right. God, let me see myself for what I really am. Let me be able to stand before the judges and say, I truly love my master. I truly love my wife. I truly love my children. As a pastor, I want to be able to say, God, I really love the church. Amen. That you're allowing me to pastor. I want to do it with the right heart. If he makes that profession, his master takes him before the judges. And he professes before them, I love my master. I love my wife. I love my children. They say the literal translation says they take him before God. They take him before God. What the Hebrew word says, they take him before God. You're not just telling me, you're not just telling the judges, you're not just telling your pastor. I told my folks the other day, you know, don't come and I say, how you doing? Oh, everything's all right. When you know you need help, you need to say, pastor, pray for me. Pastor, I'm not doing so well. Because you're not just telling me, you're telling God. Oh God, don't worry about me, everything's all right. He said, put him before God. They need to understand. You're not just telling your master this. And you're not just telling the judges this. But you're telling God. Amen. The most important witness in your life. God, I love my master. I love my wife. And I love my children. And I'm willing to serve my master for the rest of my life. Y'all know the story. Then he would take them back to his house. He would put him against the doorpost. He would bore through his ear with an awl. They say the ceremony was to proclaim some things. And that was firstly that this servant was attached to the master in his house, to that family. I'm coming back to this house and this is where I'm attaching myself. And secondly, that the servant was bound to hear all the commands of his master and to obey them. I'm telling the world, whatever he says, that's how it is. Whatever the master asked me to do, that's what I'm going to do. I'm letting the world know And for the rest of his life, he bore the mark in his ear that when people saw him, they knew he's not a slave because he has to be. He's not a debtor. He didn't get himself in some kind of trouble. But that man loves his master. Amen. I hope when the world sees me and how I conduct myself, amen, as Elder Pace touched on last night, they don't see it as just I feel like it's something I've got to do to be saved. But they realize, hey, he loves God. Amen. It's not just something he's struggling to do. Amen. He does it with the love for God, whatever. Amen. The Bible says, whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it with all your might. If you're going to live for God with everything you've got. Amen. Serve God with everything you've got. Let the world know this is in my heart. This is my decision. Amen. For all of his life. All of his life. He let the world know. This is where I want to be. I think that's where it boils down to, folks. We may be here, but our mind's somewhere else. We may be in church, but that's not really where we want to be. Well, he said, this is right where I want to be. I love my master. He's done for me what nobody else has done for me. Matthew 10:37, Jesus said, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. We all know we don't deserve God, but he said, you don't even deserve a chance if you won't do what I've asked you to do. In Luke 14:26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. We know that what he's saying is he loves him so much less than me. It's a Jewish idiom. He doesn't literally hate them. But when people see his devotion to me, amen, compared to his devotion to his family, they realize, yeah, he loves God so much more than anything else. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, he said, cannot be my disciple. Amen. If you're really going to live for God, it's going to cost you something. Amen. There's going to be some sacrifice. Amen. He talks about if you're going to build a tower, you sit down and count the cost to see whether or not you can finish it. Amen. If you're going to go to war, you make sure you got, amen, the resources to win that battle. If not, you try to make peace. He said, if not, you make a fool of yourself. Because you start the house, but you can't finish it. And you go into a battle, you're going to lose. And he said, so likewise, whosoever of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Somewhere in a place of consecration, we've got to lay it all on the line. In Galatians, Paul wrote this, 6:17, from henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can stand. He is in that right and alluding to this practice of soldiers and servants taken into service and have a mark put on them so everybody would know who they belong to. And is it the Hebrew servant that willingly allowed his ear to be bored through to mark himself as a servant forever of the master? Paul said, I bear in my body. I bear in my body. My life tells you I'm not turning back. Thought about this morning in prayer, Romans 8:35, he said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. And then Paul used a term that he uses in several of his writings. For I am persuaded. And it means he doesn't just think and he doesn't just believe. But he said, I've gone through some things in my life that I've come to the settled understanding. I'm persuaded. Amen. You can't make me doubt anymore. You can't make me question anymore. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He said, you know what I've found out? You can't live for God. Amen. He said, I bear in my body snake bite, stripes on his back. Amen. Maybe I had scars from the man of war and jellyfish stings from the shipwrecks. Beaten. He said, it didn't stop me from doing the work of God. Amen. Somewhere in your heart, that determination has to be made. I don't care what it costs me. I'm going to live for God. I don't care what price I have to pay. I'm going to live for God. Paul said, I found out I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. It doesn't matter what I'm facing. I serve an all-sufficient God. Amen. I'm telling you, you can live for God if you really want to, but you got to make up your mind. None of these things are going to move me. Neither count I my life dear. I love my master. I love my master. If it means prison, it means shipwreck, beatings, I love my master. And I'm persuaded. If I really want to live for him, I can handle anything. To have people that walk out on God, it's because they really don't want to live for him. They have a price that they're not willing to pay. But in our hearts today, we need to say it. I'm not going anywhere. I want the world to know I love my master. Do whatever you want, but I'm still going to serve him. Say whatever you want, but I'm going to still live for him. I'm in love with him. Love with him. We lift our hands. Who would cry out to the Lord, God, I need a place of consecration today. God, I've wavered and I've let things draw me off course, but today, God, I need to settle some issues in my heart. Nothing can separate me from you if I really want to live for you. Come on, let's talk to the Lord today.